Hello, super fans and haters alike. You're tuned in, turned on, and turned up with the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. On today's show, Roberta Flack dead at 88. The Pope remains in critical condition. Lester Holt steps down from NBC Nightly News and MSNBC. Canceled Joy Reid show? What the hell? It's all of this and more that the boys dig into on today's episode. Good on you for being part of the resistance. Good on you for educating yourself with need-to-know news. And good on you for helping this amazing podcast grow like a boner. Enjoy the show, you bastards. Take it away, gentlemen.
Take it away, we will. Welcome one, welcome all. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve back at it. Another compelling podcast is forthcoming.
Yeah, hey, very nice little intro there. We got a little brief rundown of the headlines.
A little rundown on the headlines.
Right,
yeah.
That sucks people's attention in, as I've learned from my book I read.
Yeah, now we can just kind of bullshit. People already know what they need to know, right?
We just need that first initial click. And fuck you if you don't want to listen to the rest.
The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. I mean, we talk all things news. Sometimes we delve into personal stuff. If you're new to the podcast, hang out a while, dude. We grow on you for sure, like a fungus, and we hope you'll stick around and enjoy.
Yeah, you can check out our website. You can check out our website. It's thevocalminority.net. I've got too many marketing things going on in my
brain. Too much shit going on, dude.
God, sorry. Social medias, we have fun there. Reddit, YouTube, TikTok. Those are the big ones. And I don't know what's going on with TikTok of late, but our videos are getting much more traffic than usual.
So I've been noticing that, dude, which is great. I mean, they spike up to 2,000 views pretty quickly in the last week anyway, so.
Yeah.
Caller comment line, leave a positive comment, leave a negative comment. We don't care. We love it all. It's 844-48-VOCAL. Use your telephone as a microphone and get vocal.
Yep, that is the idea. Plenty of news going on in the world of politics. Yet again, I try to find stuff that's not political. I'll give you one brief update. Remember we talked about that asteroid that could be hitting us in 2032?
Oh, yeah. That was... it didn't scare me as bad as I thought it would because everything else is scaring me so bad.
We may not even survive until 2032
right.
when we start our war with Canada and Panama and everything else. But, hey, good news. It went from about a 2.5% chance of hitting us down to like a 0.5. So,
oh, well, those are good odds, right? Yeah, let's not even worry about it. Bruce Willis, you can take some time off. Ben Affleck, no worries.
Yes, and that's the end of the good news I have for you.
All right. So. Well, you heard in our opening headlines there, Roberta Flack dead at 88. I think a lot of people know who Roberta Flack is, right? Am I an idiot to think that?
Maybe. I don't know who she is. So,
you don't?
I do know. I know. It's on my brain, but no, not high enough up.
Killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly.
She's in the Fugees?
No, dude. The Fugees remade that, you idiot.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Is that Marilee Rush? No. Who did that one?
Roberta Flack, dude. Listen, let's give props to Roberta Flack, dead at 88. Also, everyone will remember, the first time ever I saw your face.
Wow, we really sound old already on the show. I just want to point out, Nick and I used to work at an oldie station, so our knowledge is a little higher up, but yours has always been a notch above mine. So, no, I saw that headline this morning, but sorry. I'm
sorry. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it stinks. Luckily, we got her for 88 years. How long will the Pope hold on? It was another one on our headlines, dude. And I don't want you to say anything bad about the Pope today. That's a personal request, only because when it comes to popes, this one's a good one. And I kind of feel like, remember when RBG was, you know, growing so old and we were like, you got to hang on, you got to hang on. I feel the same way with the Pope. Like, what's going to happen if some shitbag comes in?
These are all good points. First of all, Roberta Flack, 88 years old. We only needed her for two of those years, so I'm glad she contributed for that. Moving on to the Pope. Thoughts and prayers? I don't know. I mean, what else can I offer?
Yeah, you can offer your thoughts and prayers. I appreciate that.
Listen, this is the first Pope that has ever, like, really admonished our president. And this Pope is not a big fan of Trump. So I would like him to stick around for as long as possible, because you know Trump or his cronies is going to be calling the Vatican as soon as this guy dies, advocating for some right-wing, you know, priest to rise up through the ranks to be the mega pope.
Pope Benedict was the pope previously to this Pope Francis, and he was complete right-wing. And, yeah, I feel like that could be really dangerous. So,
yeah,
I mean, I want the pope to stick around for his own reasons, but for the betterment of the world and society. I hope
Does it matter, though? I mean, he's got a first-class ticket to heaven. Shouldn't we let him get out of this earthly misery and go have eternal bliss?
Nope. No, okay. We shouldn't, dude. He's committed to a life of service. He's not done yet. That's all I'm saying.
So. I see. Well, my car could use some washing, so I hope he survives. And speaking of not surviving, Joy Reid, she got canceled?
Usually in the broadcast world, I mean, we know better than anyone when they decide you're done. You're freaking done. I mean, they cut your email. You're done. Yeah. She announces that, a last show date. So I don't know. That sounds like a nice way to leave someplace. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know why she's leaving. I like Joy Reid.
My only criticism of Joy Reid, and I do like her, she has understandably gotten very angry in the last year or so. She conveys her pissiness a lot, which I completely sympathize with. We do it a lot here on this show. I just wonder if on a news format like that, like maybe we need a little more optimism, you know, the reality put out there. But I just sense her discontent, and maybe that's been her undoing. I don't know. But she's an intelligent person and has done a great show for years that I've always enjoyed. So.
Well, and it's kind of a weird Dave to hear Lester Holt leaving NBC Nightly News. I don't know what his upcoming plans are, but I'm a big fan of Lester Holt, too. Just kind of weird to see the media shaking up like this, right?
Both at NBC land, both African American. Is this an anti-DEI thing?
Didn't even think of it, dude. But yeah, maybe. I mean, Trump did come out right away and say Joy Reid. I mean, so that's somebody who should have been let go a long time ago. And, you know, he was applauding her departure. So, of course.
Please. He would applaud anyone on MSNBC being departed. I mean, but like, you know, like getting rid of a dictator. You don't know who's going to take over. So I hope they hire someone just as competent, if not more, to help lead the march. So maybe we'll get a call today.
I would hope that that would be true, dude. Good journalism, good journalism, facts, not feelings, is more important now than ever, and we're about to prove that to you right now.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special.
Here is a news bulletin.
We interrupt this program to bring
all the humanity and all the faith.
State which will live in infamy.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Steve Harness.
Oh, hello. You know, a lot of people say MSNBC has a liberal bias. I have tried to explain to many people that facts have a liberal bias, and those hosts are always kind of spitting out the facts. So if they seem to lean liberal because they believe in science and not treating people badly, like, okay, I guess it's liberal then.
Sorry. I mean, sorry, but sorry it's progressive. Sorry it's factually based. I mean, so, yeah.
Just because you don't like the facts doesn't mean they have some agenda. They're just sticking to them, so, you know. And we are here to stick to some facts as well. Now, I don't know. Give me your two cents. Whenever, as you're well aware, I get into a lot of arguments and debates and exchanges in the comment section on our various social media platforms. And there are some people, I will tell you, there's a guy on YouTube right now I'm talking to that I applauded him for being so articulate. Like, the dude has clearly read a book or two or graduated some form of education. Like, he has well thought out, you know, opinions. And I don't agree with them, but at least he's, you know, speaking them well and he's articulate. But when I come across somebody who uses bad grammar, has spelling errors, I just immediately, I pounce on them for that. Because I feel like you can't even spell certain words correctly. Your grammar sucks. You have no punctuation. Like, I'm supposed to listen to you?
Yeah. I mean, immediately, I know what you mean. I think it's a dangerous and slippery slope only in the regard of, you know, like, sometimes you'll find that old guy who is, or woman who has lived a life that has brought a lot of knowledge to them, and maybe they don't speak or write the best, but you can tell that the world has shaped them in a way where, yeah, they've got a lot of experience that they can share from you, or share to you. But I know exactly what you mean. Like, if you're having an argument with somebody online, especially on social media, and their grammar is just terrible, they use the wrong there, you know, that type of shit, you're like, hey, I know you haven't fact checked. I know you haven't read about any of this stuff. So yeah, I don't trust you.
Speaking poorly is not necessarily an indication of being stupid, but you certainly open yourself up to criticism. And yeah, you kind of make yourself look like a flaming moron when you're arguing in a written format that most, I got to tell you, most comment sections nowadays do have spell check, and a lot of them have grammar check now. Like, if you use the wrong there, it'll tell you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Rachel always says, like, oh, it's the low hanging fruit that pisses me off and gets me. Like, you can't even do this right. Like, how am I going to get past that and read into anything that you're saying and be like, oh, that's a good point?
Yes. When it's telling you you've used the wrong word and you choose to ignore it, it's like, I seriously doubt how much fact checking or how open minded you are to information, you know. So,
yeah.
But anyway, our president, who is just a flaming moron, I give people some amount of slack if you use the wrong there, or if you say I instead of me. Like, these are somewhat common grammatical things. I get it. So, headline, this just came out today on recording day, quote, comes off like an idiot. Trump mocked stepping on good news with a stupid spelling error. So Trump was forced to correct, and he hardly ever does this, he was forced to correct a basic spelling error in a social media post touting Apple's massive investment in AI in new facilities in America, which, sure, that's a good thing. Apple, the tech giant, announced it's going to be spending $500 billion in America over the next 4 years, plans on hiring 20,000 workers, and wants to open a new factory in Texas as part of its push for AI. This is a week after CEO Tim Cook met with the president, who hailed the investment Monday morning in a social media post. So,
guy's name is Tim Apple, dude. It's not Tim Cook.
Yes, according to our glorious leader. And I will say, too, this headline comes up a lot, Trump's spelling error. And I always try to just read the post without, don't point out to me ahead of time what was spelled wrong. I just want to read it and see, is it glaringly obvious or, oh, he flipped an A and an E, you know, something.
Sure.
Like
that. So, the post,
yeah, exactly. So Trump tweeted or truthed or whatever the hell they call it over there. He said, Apple has just announced a record $500 billion investment in the United States of America. The reason, faith in what we are doing, without which they wouldn't be investing 10 cents. Thank you, Tim Cook, and thank you, Apple. The phrase without which they wouldn't be investing, without which, he spelled witch like the Wicked Witch of the East.
With a T?
Yes, W-I-T-C-H, without which. I mean, that is not grammatical. I really don't think he understands that there are two words which, and that they have not even close to the same meaning. One flies around on a broomstick. One is a grammatically correct word that suggests an alternative.
Well, and the whole post is just a word salad to begin with. I mean, it hurt my brain listening to that. Even I didn't know it was misspelled because you were obviously just reading it. But right. Yeah, he's terrible, dude.
Yeah, and by the way, Apple is not investing $500 billion as a favor to Trump or whatever. This is obviously a business move they've been working on for more than a week, probably for a long time, especially with AI being in this whole new, territory out there. So,
of course.
But yeah, Trump wants to take credit, but like the headline said, he just makes himself look like an absolute idiot by stepping on good news with a comical spelling error over which is which and who is who. That's a Pink Floyd line right there.
Oh, fantastic. We thank you for that, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, you're welcome. And this, I think, is why Trump loves the poorly educated, because it makes him feel better about himself, you know?
Yes, he's always the smartest person in a room when he hangs around. I love the poorly educated.
Yes. And, Pete Davidson from SNL, this is an old interview, but he had said that when Trump sat in on SNL when he was hosting and they did the table read, were they all like, you know, in elementary school, you have to read something kind of cold aloud to the classroom, that,
right,
that he stumbled and fumbled and misspelled or mispronounced words, needed help. Like, what is this word? And he said that in his opinion, Trump was reading at about a fifth grade level. And this is Pete Davidson, who's a bit of a professional moron, saying that Trump was shockingly stupid.
He was saying, like, he didn't even want cue cards. That's why he, you know, he goes off the teleprompter, you know, turn it off, because he can't read.
Yes. Now, that was one thing I believed when Trump said on the campaign trail, like, I never read Project 2025. I'm like, oh, I believe you. I don't think you read it, because you don't read anything. But I'm pretty sure someone explained to you the highlights. And we know his presidential daily briefings, that he wants one-page bullet points. He doesn't read anything.
King of the Cliff Notes, dude. And yeah, I think, you know, we've talked on this show just recently, you know, like, is listening to an audiobook count as reading? I think he definitely just listens to everything. Have you ever heard him read in a deposition where they'll be like, read paragraph 4, Mr. Trump? It's awful.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't that long ago that we saw Elon Musk throw his heart out to the crowd with his Heil Hitler salutes. And, you know, of course, the right said, oh, he was throwing his heart out. That was not a Hitler salute. Yeah, it was a dog whistle. People did cheer when he did it. And I don't know. Everyone's forgotten about it now. I mean, I see a T-shirt once in a while with, you know, him throwing out the salute. But like, as far as in the news, people have seemed to already forgot about it and moved on. Luckily, Steve Bannon, the mumbling, bumbling white supremacist idiot. And we know that for a fact, right? That he's a white supremacist. CPAC was just this past week, and Steve Bannon was speaking at CPAC, and obviously you can't see him, so I'm going to play a little clip of audio, and then I'll explain.
Are you prepared to fight for this country? The hardest, toughest days are ahead, folks, but you know what? The only way we lose is if we quit. The only way we don't have victory, if we surrender. The only way that they win is we retreat. And we're not going to retreat. We're not going to surrender. We're not going to quit. Fight, fight, fight.
But just before that roaring applause, he threw out a Heil Hitler salute at the crowd, too. Yeah. And, I mean, it didn't surprise me from him. It surprised me that so many people erupted into cheers and applause after he did it, right?
Yeah, I always wonder if they're reinventing that dog whistle to some extent, because some of those applause have to just be that they think it's funny that, you know, the Musk did it and now Bannon's doing it. Like, I don't know if they're all actually wannabe Nazis per se, but a good percentage are, and the rest just find it cool now because it's owning the libs and it's sticking it to the mainstream media. But yeah, I saw the clip. And, you know, there's a lot of clips that have been circulating, still images of, like, Obama doing the same style salute. But when you see the video of Obama doing it, it's quite clear he's waving to people.
Yes.
They just take the one still image. Bannon just did that, not in a throwing my heart out to you like Musk did, not in a waving to the crowd moment. He threw it up and put it right back down. Because if you're waving to the crowd, you'd linger. If you were doing the heart thing, maybe you'd do it couple times like Musk did. But the thing about Musk was weird is that he slapped the chest first and then did the very straight out thing. But yeah, Bannon just slipped it in there, and there's no other explanation for it. It's either an overt Heil Hitler or just a call back to what Musk did and let's own the libs by slipping another Nazi salute in here.
Completely agree with you that Musk had a lot more confidence when he did it. He's the richest man in the world. Of course he had more confidence when he did it. Yeah. But Steve Bannon, when he did it, if you watch the clip a couple of times, you can kind of see that he's thinking that he's going to be doing it, and he kind of looks around the room, and after he throws the salute up, I mean, he does take a brief look at the crowd, like, oh, were they into that? And of course, they start cheering. I mean, he was a little more apprehensive, but went well for him. People enjoyed it. Steve Bannon was asked about the Heil Hitler salute and why he did it.
That was a wave to the crowd. This is once again the left-wing media insulting these people. The speech was about them.
Hey, dude, when you do something in public, like, you would if you really gave a shit, you would want to make sure, if you were waving at the crowd, that it looked like a wave that 98% of America would give, right? Like you said, kind of linger around, and it's your hands straight up, like you're telling someone to stop almost. It's not at an angle. Right. Like, stop gaslighting us, dude. We're not idiots. We know exactly what you're doing. And, you know, we had a clip on the podcast last week, a short conversation about the racist tendencies of the MAGA crowd and a lot of the right wing. And people are like, I don't know why you think that. Well, like Steve has always said, like, you don't think it's weird that you vote the same as all these known racists, that you associate yourself and you don't back off and you defend all these known racists? There's something wrong with you, whether you want to admit it or not.
First of all, I hadn't heard Bannon's rebuttal there, so I'm proud to be part of the left-wing media calling this out. Because first of all, when you, like I just said, like he did it quickly and put the hand back down. His palm was facing down. I don't know anyone who waves that doesn't put their hand straight up in the air. And you don't just do a quick, like, was he waving to John in the front row? Is that what he's trying to claim? Because that was not a wave. A wave is a wave, and you keep your hand up in the air for a while. And
It's just another one of these guys. I don't even know why Steve Bannon is still around. I don't understand him, other than he's got ties to all these really racist groups. And as we've seen in 2016, like it or not, a lot of those racist groups have a lot of power, in the sense that they're loud and they're willing to put in the work to show people that they're racist. And Steve Bannon is definitely one of those guys. And with Project 2025 the way it is, there's a lot of racists that wrote Project 2025, and Steve Bannon's a part of that. So I guess he's going to stick around for a while. But we continue to see dog whistles. And you have any bets on who's next that will throw up Heil Hitler?
Yeah,
maybe
right.
J.D. Vance? Like, who are we going to get?
I do think that this will become something they embrace.
Yeah.
In the, we're just trying to stick it to the libs, like, we love getting them all riled up. But there will, of course, be the subtext to that that is plainly obvious. But yeah, I mean, we've seen people on social media that have done the fuck around and find out thing. You know, there was some woman who was a, I don't know, city council or something in some small town. So she did it at the meeting. And yeah, she got freaking fired because everyone's just like, it's not funny. Like, a Musk or even a Bannon can attempt to get away with it because they're on such a national level. And to answer your question as to why he's still doing these things, he is bilking money out of these gullible masses. I mean, he lost that lawsuit over the fake funding to build the wall and for Mexico, that he was just stealing money. So kind of like Alex Jones, like, these people are finding themselves on the wrong end of some lawsuits and are deeply in debt or losing money they had. So, yeah, he's going to keep this going. He's either hoping to get a job with the Trump administration, because you got to be overtly racist and MAGA to do that. Or, yeah, he's just trying to pad his pocket off of the, preaching to the choir out there. And I'm sure he'll do just fine, because these gullible people love parting with their money easily.
They're eating it up. Let me tell you this, Steve, just to take a quick, just this 5-second detour. I went to see Hamilton on Friday, right? You knew that, of course. We talked about it.
Right.
Yeah, rise up, dude. Rachel's been a big fan for a long time, and I haven't disliked it, but I wasn't as interested as Rachel was. But we went to see this live performance in Seattle, and I thought it was amazing. Like, I'm definitely sucked in. But as I'm watching Hamilton, I can't help but think, like, all the things that I'm seeing that these people are doing are being erased right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really, I mean, that really bothered me as I was watching people die, people sacrifice for our country to make it what it is today. You know, just it's really crazy to see that all that stuff is going away right now.
And or repeating itself. I almost feel like Lin-Manuel Miranda, the guy behind it all, could do an updated version where Trump is now King George, and we have the Democrats that are trying to uphold the principles of the founding fathers of not having a king and trying to have an actual democracy and free speech being something that is, you know, coveted and protected. Because we are repeating the mistakes of then, and we are just dumping all over the founding fathers and the Constitution, which so many MAGA people claim that they hold in high regards, but are just destroying it.
Destroying it. That's the perfect way to put it. As we were watching the performance, King George came out, and he plays kind of a comical character in Hamilton. I mean, a comical character that does heinous shit, but he's, you know, kind of funny. Yeah. While he was out there, I'm in Seattle, liberal Seattle, a person in the crowd yelled out, "Go Trump!"
Wow.
And the whole crowd was just like, "Boo! We're at a live performance, dude. I mean, you don't do shit like that. I mean, your firstborn would tell you, like, what? Are you kidding me?"
Yeah.
Being in the theater. But, yeah, I couldn't believe this one was like, "Go Trump!" And he was referring to King George. I was like, yeah, I guess you're right.
No self-awareness. Not only a bad theater etiquette, obviously, but that you're comparing Trump to the king that our country fought a war against to get separated from. And that, yes, George Washington did not want to keep running. He didn't want to keep being reelected.
Right. Yeah, we're going in reverse. And that's why we thank you for being part of the resistance, because if you are, you're on the right side of history. You know that.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News, 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 news.
I have harnessed the harness.
Wow.
That's a new one.
You harness the harness, dude.
Scared me a little bit. That was. Wow. Hey, by the way, I'm surprised that mega guy in the crowd at Hamilton, his head didn't explode when George Washington came out and was black.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I have no idea why he was even there.
I would have loved to be in the pitch meeting when Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote that play, like the musical. He had to get investors and funding and backing. So to sit down and be like, all right, I wrote a musical. It's a hip-hop musical. It's about the founding fathers. And George Washington's going to be black. And it's going to be like, what in the hell? That sounds like the most disastrous musical in the history of musicals.
I think his only investor was George Soros in the deep state.
Right, of course. All right, moving on with some news. James Carville has been a political talking head, a prominent Democrat for years. He is, of course, married to Mary Magdalene, I think is her name, who is a staunch Republican, which I've never understood that dynamic. Maybe it's because they come from the old days when there was just some fun differences between the two sides.
Yeah, it would have been a lot easier 10, 15 years ago, you know.
I will say I have noticed that his wife, I don't ever see her out on the circuit anymore. She's not out defending Trump, so.
He's not a young man, so I can only imagine that she's up there as well.
Yeah, and is a traditional Republican who probably wants nothing to do with any of this stuff. But James Carville's been a revered talking head on the Democratic side for a long time. He did predict Kamala Harris was going to win this election, so he screwed that up. But he's gotten a lot of other predictions right over the years. He was the guy election night in 2016 that first came on national TV and was like, "I think Trump's about to win this election, everyone." And everyone at that hour in the day was just like, "What are you talking about? Like, Trump's not going to win." And he's like, "I see the writing on the wall here, people." So
there were even people that were mad at him. Like, "Shut up. Don't say that." You know, that people were pissed.
Yeah. But he is generally good at reading the tea leaves. So James Carville has predicted the exact date that Trump will face a, quote, massive collapse in support.
Is it any chance it's next week? You know,
That's interesting you say, because he thinks it's going to happen in the next 30 days. Is that soon enough?
Yeah, that'll be soon enough. I mean, we see his approval rating falling pretty rapidly, so that would make sense.
See, you're a smart guy, too. So, longtime political consultant James Carville predicted that the bottom's about to fall out for President Donald Trump and his mega agenda when it comes to support from the voting public. And he warned the president that it would happen within a month. He said, quote, "I believe that this administration in less than 30 days is in the midst of a massive collapse, and particularly a collapse in public opinion." He said the signs are already there and pointed to a poll that found that support among voters under the age of 30 has dropped from 50% down to 39% just within 2 weeks. He said it's collapsing right now. We're in the midst of the collapse. Last week, multiple polls showed him underwater for the first time in public approval since winning the office. With inflation on the rise, polls have also found that voters no longer approve of his handling of the economy And that was one of the biggest strengths he had going at the election.
It seems like, you know, I hate to call people undecided because I just don't get it. But the a lot of people that voted for Trump voted solely on the fact that, you know, they thought he was going to get the economy back on track right away, day one, first month.
Yeah, which was dumb and silly. But not only has he not brought down egg prices and whatever, but yeah, inflation is on the rise. He's firing people in epic scales. Unemployment's going to rise. And so, yeah, and Carville said that, quote, this is the lowest approval, not even close, that any president has ever had 30 days into their administration. And he is urging Democrats to, quote, play possum. In other words, don't do anything. Just step back and let it implode.
Interesting.
An indicator that he said should be coming up that we can all watch for. He said that House Speaker Mike Johnson will not be able to pass a budget with just the Republicans in his conference, that he's going to need to go to Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats. And he said when that happens, Mike Johnson's going to have no other choice. He's going to have to go to Hakeem. And when that does, that is a mega surrender right there. So let's see. You know, they're always extending the debt ceiling, and Trump is trying to get his new budget out there. So that will be an indicator if enough Republicans can't even pass it themselves.
Yeah. No, that'll be interesting. And the whole thought of us playing possum, I kind of get it because we can just watch him implode. It can't, like you said when he first started, having the Congress, you know, having House, if you fail, this is all on you. You can't blame it on anyone else. So if we play possum right now, he can't say, like, everyone's against me. You know, I'm spending so much time fighting, defending. Like, let's just shut up and watch him explode.
Yeah, nope, spot on. We have no real control over any of this. And he's got the numbers, technically, in both houses. So if Team Mega, Team Republicans, all on the same page, he should be able to do basically whatever he wants. But, yeah, the writing's on the wall. And we've been seeing all sorts of videos, social media stuff, but also news organizations reporting on, you know, farmers that are pissed off at Trump that voted for him, people that are losing government jobs, that they were a big Mega supporter, but I just lost my federal job.
Right.
Grants that are going away for nonprofits in your community, Medicaid getting gutted.
Starting to see the Latino population come out and say, like, we didn't really think that he was going to do the mass deportations. And yeah, everyone's being affected by this because there was such a large portion of the population who thought, like, he's just talking shit. He's not really going to do that.
Yes. It was a dual thing. A lot of people thought, like, no, he's not really going to do any of these crazy things. And he also, now Trump is getting the same effect that, you know, Biden had these last 4 years, where it doesn't actually matter if it's your fault that egg prices are going up. People just blame you because you're the one sitting in the White House. Is it fair? No, but it's the reality of politics in America. And we just need enough of the center to get pissed off that the next election, they're going to vote the other way.
And not go along with this whole, you know, how about I have a third term, you know. There are people that applaud that, which is sick and un-American to the highest degree. But, yeah, we got to get people on board with not only not a third term, but, yeah, let's go blue. We'll come in and clean up the mess again. It's the way this country operates. Republicans fuck shit up, and then the Democrats have to spend 8 years cleaning up your mess. We get it back to a good point, and then another Republican is elected.
And that same cycle is what I was just talking about. Like, you know, Republicans fuck it up, Democrats take it over and fix it, but they didn't fix it quick enough, or there's this one thing I don't like, so I don't like you guys anymore. I'm voting the other way. Like,
right.
It's just so short-sighted. But there's so many MAGA right now that think that somehow they're immune to the political pendulum that will keep swinging back and forth. They somehow think they've got this locked up for the next 500 years that a Democrat won't get reelected. And I'm hoping your paranoia and a lot that I'm hearing online that there's no more elections, or they're just going to destroy blue states. I'm hoping and assuming that that sort of Armageddon-level version of reality is not going to come to fruition, because as we have a fair and open election in 4 years, we should be fine.
Yeah, we should be okay. And let's play possum. Carville's a smart guy, and I don't know if you remember, but maybe in the last 6 months, he was doing a lot of reports on Trump pooping his pants, which I found sophomoric and really funny, you know, that he's, that's what you're doing now. I mean, he's a highly educated, I think he's a lawyer. But yeah, it was funny that he was just reporting on poopy pants. And now, yeah, I think we listen to him again and just kind of play possum.
Yep. Nope. Smart guy. And to some extent, we don't have a choice, but to a larger extent, let them run wild. We are barely 30 days into this. He got all of his appointments through. So he has set up the tinderbox. And like we said, when he won the election, if for some reason his batshit crazy ideas actually work, then okay, I guess we have a whole new system of government. But yeah. I highly doubt it based on what we're seeing already and based on the writing on the wall. So, you know, we're still in the fuck around stage. The find out stage is coming. Some people think we're there already, but no. We're still fucking around for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see what happens in this next 30 days.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. We appreciate you downloading the podcast, listening to all our social media clips done by none other than Mr. Stephen Harness, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Yeah, we're talking about politics right now because that's mainly what seems to be in the news. I don't know if you saw any of the clips from CPAC this past week. Trump was all over the news talking to different people, and he was putting together a speech about a really, really important topic, and that is banning men from women's sports. You know, it's a huge problem in our society that affects a lot of our day-to-day lives, and he was talking about it. He's just getting a little bit of resistance on it. Let's listen to Trump talk a little bit about that.
The NCAA has complied immediately, by the way. That's good. But I understand Maine. Is Maine here, the governor of Maine?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and federal laws.
We are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. And enjoy your life after governor because I don't think you'll be in elected politics. Every state has a responsibility to comply with Title IX. They have an obligation, a legal obligation, and we'll be enforcing aggressively, and we're going to be protecting our citizens. We're going to protect.
Yeah, you got to protect, dude. I mean, it's dangerous for that large population of men playing in women's sports. Right. You'd love to hear someone like Janet Mills, the governor of Maine, stand up and say, "All right, motherfucker, I'll see you in court." I love it, dude, for anyone to stand up, but especially a strong woman. I love to see stand up, you know?
Yeah. This whole notion that Trump has that I am the law, I think that was in Judge Dredd, the apocalyptic dystopian future where police just are the judge, jury, and executioners now because crime is out of control. And that's the famous line. It was a comic book, but Stallone did a movie where, "I am the law." And that's how Trump views himself now. And he just signed an executive order basically saying that whatever we say goes. Like, we are the law. Forget what the judiciary says, the people that are actually there to interpret laws. Like, no, we are the law. And so, yes, I love that she pushed back saying, "Well, I'll see you in court. You know, let's test that theory."
This is a guy notorious. Let's talk about Roe v. Wade. Send it back to the states. Let the states decide. Well, now a state is deciding what they're going to do. And you're threatening to pull federal funding from the people, not her, from the people of Maine.
Who he just said a bunch of them are big supporters of him. So, yes, he's talking about screwing them. He's forgetting the fact that Congress decides the purse strings in this country. I mean, this is what we're seeing with all of his things right now, that he thinks he can just pull funding that's been approved for things. It's not his personal piggy bank that he's dispensing money to the states.
Right.
And you bring up a phenomenal point that, yeah, when it comes to abortion, a super important, serious issue. Let's leave it up to the states. They can do it. But when it comes to New York setting tolls, or, you know, Maine deciding what laws, you know, they want to fight in court, all of a sudden then, no, the states can't decide these things. I'm going to step in and decide it for the states.
His
selective enforcement. I was arguing with multiple mega online this week of, you don't see the hypocrisy that states' rights are fine for one issue but not for the other?
Right. Yeah, it is. It's complete hypocrisy. And you noticed I call it a gaffe when she said, I'm complying with, federal law. And he was like, we are federal law. He started to say, I am federal law. That is me. Just like you said, he thinks of his opinions, his ideas as law for King Trump.
And another, I don't know if it's grammatical error, but something in there, it drove me nuts right at the beginning of the clip. It is not the NCAA. It's the NCAA, okay? Nobody calls it the NCAA. Did he read this somewhere? Has he never heard somebody talk about it? It's the NCAA, you fucking idiot.
I agree. Hey, this look dumb, dude, but we're talking about people have been talking about U.S. aid, but everyone refers to it as USAID. Why is that? Am I the last person in the world to think that that's odd?
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Everyone does call it USAID. Does AID stand for something I'm not aware of? I mean, it is aid, obviously, going to other countries, but that is, I don't know, that's somewhat new. I don't know that I've heard it always referred to that way. The NCAA, just like the NAACP, like that's how it's always referred to. So
right.
It's not the NCAA.
Since
and
the
we're
beginning.
Also talking about, wow, I've heard of like four, women.
Four people. I mean, that's crazy, dude.
Right. But whatever it takes, I suppose, to finally get Republicans to care about women's sports. I'm sure they're all going to be big supporters now of equal pay for professional athletes and equal funding for, women's sports in college. I'm sure their hypocrisy won't just stop there.
I'm going to say something that I heard, and I haven't fact-checked this yet, and I'm wondering if you've heard it or if you've fact-checked it. When he was signing that executive order for, banning transgenders, men from women's sports, he had a ton of young girls behind him in soccer uniforms and stuff. Like, he was the hero. Yeah. I saw one clip of it that he turned around and said, you don't have a wiener, do you? I mean, to like a 11 or 12 year old girl. Have you heard that?
No, I'm going to fact check it right now. It's probably being AI, because I'm pretty sure that'd be on the headline news of every major organization. Teenager if they have a wiener or not. That's great. There's some interview circulating with one of the Canadian hockey players talking about Trump with his little pecker and stuff. And
right.
I did fall for it at first because Canada's so pissed off at us. It seemed completely feasible to me, but no, it was AI, but still.
Yeah. So I thought the same thing with that. It's getting so hard to tell. All in this story, I didn't know a lot about Janet Mills. She's going to see Trump in court. And let's just remember the state's first female governor, Janet Mills, also first female district attorney, longtime Democratic politician. She's been in court a lot. She knows how to fight in court as a professional. So, I look forward to her seeing President Trump in court.
Yeah. And by the way, not only is it a states' rights kind of, hypocrisy issue to say that certain states can't just determine this for themselves. It's also Republicans used to be very opposed to interfering with businesses, less regulation, let businesses decide their own thing. Trump has deregulated all sorts of toxic industries that can literally poison the planet. But for some reason, college sports and professional sports leagues, the government has to get involved in this topic. They're not capable of having their own rules as to what genetic makeup or testosterone levels or whatever qualifies for their sports. Like, the government has to interfere on this one, but let oil companies deregulate themselves and do whatever they want.
Right.
But
yes.
God damn it, we're going to make sure the NBA and college sports, we're going to put the thumb on the scale for them. Like, sports are essentially all private leagues, even if it is college. So let them come up with their own freaking rules and deal with the consequences from there.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I think there's a lot of people that are going to see Trump in court, and he doesn't like the fact that a lot of the courts are holding up what is right and just, so.
Yeah, well, it's setting up more of this, we're not going to listen to the courts. I mean, they're teeing it up repeatedly of late. So just, you know, mark my words, one of these days they're going to defy a court order. And then, yes, full-blown constitutional crisis. So stay tuned.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News, 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 news.
Hi, Stephen. This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
Sorry, what? Somebody talking? I don't hear anything.
I don't think so, dude.
All right. This whole Elon Musk thing, I just don't know what to do about it. It is so insanely crazy. The amount of control and influence we've given a private citizen who's a multi-gazillionaire who is not born in this country. I mean, it's, again, hypocrisy. If Obama had put Bill Gates or George Soros in an office in the White House, everyone would be freaking out. But the catch-22, I think, with the Elon Musk thing is we all want government waste to be, you know, to be thrown out and taken care of. And we all know there is some level of it. But he's literally going in there with a chainsaw. You saw him at CPAC, right? Running around with his little chainsaw as his metaphor for what he's doing to our government.
Yeah, the president of Argentina gave him a gold-plated chainsaw, and he's, you know, cutting bureaucracy.
Right. And there was a great clip of CNN. Anderson Cooper had one of the conservatives on, and he was touting what Musk has just said, that, you know, there's millions of people over the age of 150 that are still getting Social Security, and no one's being outraged by that. And Anderson Cooper just basically said to the guy, like, stop being a dick. He literally said that on air. Like, we just want facts. If you're going to make these claims at a public press conference in an interview, then show us the receipts, you know?
Right.
And the conservative guy on there was, oh, come on, he's not just making the stuff up. I mean, he's the smartest man in the world. So I do have a CNN fact check article here that's just running through a couple of the things that Musk has made public declarations of that, surprise, surprise, turned out not to be true at all.
Not to be true at all? I mean, there's not a glimmer of truth in them? It's not an exaggeration?
Well, some of it is an exaggeration. Some of it's just flat out false. And you know, as we've discussed before, Musk has essentially become a Bond villain where he's in control of one of the largest media platforms and he constantly puts out disinformation and either never retracts it or just maybe occasionally deletes it, or he often doubles down on it. And his misinformation is seen by more people than any other source. Millions on the pessimistic side. Some of it has been proven to be viewed by billions of people around the planet. And it's just factual misinformation.
It is. And it's the reason that this show got off that platform. You know, like I'm not promoting or using X in my personal life. We're definitely not doing it on the show. And it's going to take more people to do that. But he still has the reach. Somehow it still gets out there.
Well, he's got more followers than anyone on planet Earth. And some of the mega conservative podcast hosts got themselves banned in the past month or two, or temporarily banned, or they noticed their links are being shared. And we've been saying that that's been happening to us and other liberals for a while, and no one wanted to believe it. But let me just run through a couple of these phony claims he's put out. So first one, he promoted a video about USAID and celebrities. As the Trump administration was working to dismantle the U.S. agency, he shared a video that claimed that USAID spent your tax dollars to fund celebrity trips to the Ukraine, all to boost Zelensky's popularity amongst Americans. Do you recall George Clooney or Cindy Crawford? Do you recall any celebrities going over to the Ukraine? I don't.
No, dude. It's a war-torn country. Of course not, dude.
The post included a video made to look as though it was from the entertainment outlet E! News. Guess what? The entire video was fake, completely fabricated, not real at all, but he shared it to millions, if not billions of people who, of course, believed it. And like we've said before, I think it was Mark Twain that said the lie will do 10 laps around the world before the truth can lace up its shoes.
Wow, that is profound.
Indeed. How about this one? Misrepresenting a Pentagon contract for defense against cyber attacks. Musk took aim at the Reuters news agency that he's criticized before because they've criticized him. He wrote on X that Reuters was paid millions of dollars by the U.S. government for large-scale social deception. That is literally what it says on the purchase orders. They're a total scam. Just wow, Musk tweeted.
Dude, how would you believe that? How would you believe that that's what it said on the purchase order?
Right. Well, what's even funnier here is the contract Musk was talking about was awarded by the Department of Defense during the first Trump administration, by the way, to bolster the military's defense against social engineering cyber attacks that use social deception tactics to trick humans. But the money went to a data-driven solution company called Thomson Reuters Special Services, not to the fucking Reuters news agency. It just had the same word in there.
It's unbelievable, dude. I mean, it's really unbelievable. And you wonder, is he so stupid that he wouldn't read the article in full and make that distinction? Or does he see that and use it to his advantage and say, like, you know, it says Reuters.
Bingo. It's B for sure. Now, I will point out, it's not the Reuters news agency. It does share a corporate parent, you know, with this Reuters Special Services, but they're completely different companies. And more importantly, neither company was ever paid to engage in deceiving the public. They were just giving reports to the government. They weren't out there making any public statements or doing any social media things themselves. And again, it's not the Reuters news agency.
Unreal, dude. Unreal. So irresponsible. But when you're doing it on purpose, you can't look at it as irresponsible.
Right. And here's another parallel example. Promoting a false claim about the government spending money on the New York Times, Musk declared that the New York Times is government-funded media. He shared a post from some ex-user who was a conservative talking head that the U.S. government gave, quote, the New York Times tens of millions of dollars over just the past 5 years, including nearly $27 million from the Department of Health and almost $20 million from the National Science Foundation. But those figures are not even close to correct or accurate. They were based on a flawed web search by this conservative podcast host. He included the word New York in all of these things. So it brought up things such as New York University getting a grant from the federal government, not the New York Times. He included anything with the term New York in it.
It's Frank Sinatra had a big part in that, right? I mean, like, he must have got a lot of hits on that.
Right, and a lot of people say New York twice, I'm told, so apparently that must have doubled the search results. Now, the only thing that the government did pay the New York Times for, over the last 5 years, they paid $1.6 million, not $27 million. Most of that was for subscriptions for the Department of Defense for the New York Times. Because not only do they get it at the actual, you know, the DOD, but they also distribute newspapers around the world for our troops serving abroad and whatnot. So, yeah, we have subscriptions to multiple news agencies, one of which is the New York Times. None of that has anything to do with us giving them money to somehow control what they're reporting on.
Of course not, dude. There is some integrity in media. And the fact that, you know, over the last 8-9 years, the MAGA party has tried to tear down the media as the enemy of the people. This is what you get when you start spewing that bullshit.
I could go on for another hour. Let me just blaze through a couple more. I won't give you all the details. But you heard this crazy thing about the government spending $50 million on condoms for Gaza.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely false. Not even remotely true. Misleading information about Social Security, claiming that hundreds of millions of people were getting benefits. Not true. The IRS actually has a default system in place that once you're 115, which would be on the high end, that obviously no one gets any benefits, period. And of these millions of people that are still reported as being alive, even though they're dead, something like 44,000 of them are the only ones that were getting benefits still. And that the government had realized that back in the Biden administration, have started to take the money back. But even if you want to claim like that's fraud, 44,000, he is saying hundreds of millions of people. Like, that is just misinformation. You're talking about a double-digit percentage versus like 0.001% of the actual fraud.
What's our population, dude, in America? Like 330 million?
Yes, somewhere around 350, yeah.
So you can't have hundreds of millions of people having Social Security fraud, dude. You have to be of a certain age. There's not even that many people that could do it.
Exactly. And Social Security pays out trillions and trillions of dollars every year. So if you find millions in fraud, like that may be a good headline, like $10 million in fraud. But again, it's less than 1%. And every program, of course, has fraud, which goes back to my original point of, find the actual fraud and get rid of that. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and claim the entire system is rigged because you found one statistically insignificant, accounting of fraud.
People like us don't have a problem with you finding fraud. When you come to your opinions and start implementing things like firing all park ranger, firing all stewards of people that protect our country's lands and stuff like that, like that's not waste, abuse, and fraud. That's an actual position that goes to a lot of people are happy out in the wilderness, out in the wild, out in these parks, and you're just going to shut all that shit down? That's not waste, abuse, and a fraud.
And again, some of this is going to take a little time. A lot of these park rangers that have lost their jobs, you may not notice it at first, but when there's a fire, when there's things that have to be organized and or controlled burns that aren't happening, and now we've built up all this tinderbox, like some of this will take a little time, but I assure you the results will become obvious.
Oh, 100%. Can I play you one audio clip of Elon Musk talking at CPAC?
Yeah, I'm done. So, yes, do whatever.
All right. I will let you guys know that I think everything that he says in this clip is wrong, and this show is proof of that.
The left wanted to make comedy illegal, you know? Yeah. Like, you can't make fun of anything. So then it was like, comedy sucks. It's like, nothing's funny. You can't make fun of anything. It's like, legalize comedy. Yeah.
Yeah. We have legalized comedy.
What the fuck is he talking about? When did the left ever say that? First of all, most mainstream humor is against the conservatives because most of us lean that way. Most comedians, cater to the blah, 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 blah. They're the ones pissed off about Saturday Night Live and Stephen Colbert making fun of them and Tom Hanks out there. When the hell did we ever freak out at the infinitesimal percentage of conservative comedians out there?
Yeah, I think he's saying, like, when he says legalized comedy, I think he's saying, like, let us joke about rape. Like, these are just jokes and stuff like that. You know, like, it comes to being politically correct or just not being a douchebag and joking about things that are terrible. Like we've said on this show, you've always made a huge point to this ever since I've known you. Like, nothing should be off limits in comedy. You know, that's... that's comedy. That's what it's for. Even tragedy. Like, that's oftentimes how we get through some of those things. So, yeah, no one on the left is trying to make comedy illegal.
That's like, hilarious. No. I mean, I do stand by that. A comedian should be able to joke about whatever they want. But the free market will determine if that joke was well-written, funny, or just mean-spirited, hateful, and racist. And
yes.
You know, my son, just the other day, for some reason, he asked me, is it illegal on the television and radio with the FCC? Can you say the N-word? And I said, you can. That's not on the list of words you cannot say. The problem is you're going to lose your advertisers. You're going to lose your audience. Like, you can say it, but it's the fuck around and find out. So, yeah, if a comedian wants to make a racist joke, if it's done cleverly, intelligently, thought-provoking, it's funny, like, all right, let him go. But more times when people freak out, it's just hateful and bigoted.
When we were watching that 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, there was a skit in there where Chevy Chase and Richard Pryor were going back and forth with each other and calling each other racist names.
Yeah.
And the very last one was Chevy Chase calling Richard Pryor the N-word.
Yeah.
All four of us were mouths dropped like, holy shit, that was on TV and people were laughing at it. Like, it's crazy. You will find out if people like it or not.
Yeah, and times do change. Things do evolve. So a joke that may have been ha-ha funny back then is not so much now. And SNL had highlighted that under some topic heading of, like, we can't believe we ever got away with this stuff. You guys were laughing, so don't, admonish us. But, yeah, it was a whole segment of you can't make this joke anymore, and 9 times out of 10, it's for good reasons.
How times have changed. But the left has not tried to outlaw comedy. This show, once again, proof of that. We do two podcasts each and every week. First one, Well, it's forced to not be that funny because we're talking about real serious shit here. But tune in for our second podcast and maybe you'll find more humor in that bad boy.
That's fair. Yeah, find our website, thevocalminority.net. Find us on the social medias, YouTube, TikTok, Reddit, the big ones. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, occasionally on Threads. And Blue Sky, we're on there. Good stuff going on at Blue Sky.
We thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hello, my mini champions. It's your favorite old bag, Betty White. This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. New podcasts are released twice a week. Don't forget to watch The Golden Girls wherever great TV is watched.
We will fight hard for the freedom to vote.
See, that's funny.